Pro hunt's hard, and you you spend a lot of time at the range. You build up your confidence, and like oh yeah, I'm grouping a softball at a C note. Like yeah, I'm good. You know, so buck standing out there at 95 yards, like the first buck I ever shot 10 plus years ago or whatever with my bow, like that buck was at 95 bedded, and I double lunged him. So like you kind of go through this, but then like eventually it takes like one time, and like something bad happens, and it's like, you know what, dude, I think I'm gonna dial back. So my new rule is that like I don't want to shoot past my pins. It all comes down to if you want to do something, anything, like you want to do something, you will find a way to do that. And it just matters, what are you willing to sacrifice to do it? And I think hunting success is also falls right into that. Hunting to me is an art as well. And it's like, you're the one with the paintbrush and the world is your canvas basically. And so you can hunt however you want. If you don't want to be that dude that like lives for it.
Yeah.
And he's like, run 10 miles every day.
Yeah.
Lift in, shoot your bow every day. Like you don't have to do that. You can go just hang out with your friends and there's no pressure, you know? But like personally, there's a select few of us. I know you're one of these guys. The struggle and the adversity and like the grind is kind of addicting. And then to cap that off with that feeling of like, I did it. That's the chase, right? Somebody was asking how to spot and stalk mule deer. Mm-hmm. And this one guy comes in, he's like, oh yeah, I did this one time. He's like, I walked at a group of deer with my bow on my head. And he was like, I was able to walk slowly right into that herd of deer because he thinks they thought he was a deer. I don't know how true that is. Maybe. Also, you and I have talked about this. What is that? You predator call in does.
Yeah.
Bucks follow him. There's like a lot of different ways to skin a cat. There's not necessarily like a wrong and a right way, because at the end of the day, if the deer's laying there on the ground, that's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You did it.
Hey guys, welcome to 2024. Thank you for all the years of support. Been at this a long time and appreciate you sticking with me. And if you're a new listener, thank you for tuning in. If you could help me out by going to iTunes or Spotify and leaving us a review, I really appreciate it. It helps me keep this free. Speaking of keeping this free, check out Phoenix Shooting Bags. Use promo code John Stallone to save 20% on everything that they have. And lastly, if you could, do yourself a favor, help protect hunting, help protect your heritage, and get involved with Howl for Wildlife. That's Howl, H-O-W-L, for wildlife.org. Go check it out, get involved. Without further ado, let's jump into this episode. Welcome to Days in the Wild Big Game Hunting Podcast. I'm sitting here with Josh Kirshner, the Dialed In Hunter. You shot a pretty decent coos deer buck this year, man.
I did. It was a grind of a month, dude.
I went on one stalk all of January.
Did you really?
One stalk. I couldn't find a single deer that I wanted to go after.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I compare it to last year, I shot my buck in January 6th, so mm-hmm. I didn't really have as far as going on stalks, but I saw a lot of good deer because I continue to hunt with other people and saw a lot of great deer this year. Didn't see anything.
Really? How was the rutting where you were?
It was okay, but it was all young bucks.
Okay. See, I started out first half of the month in southern Arizona, and I couldn't buy a buck locked down with does. Like, they were just pinballing all over the place. They'd hit a pocket of does, push for 5 minutes, walk off, you know, which is... You've hunted these deer for a lot of years. That's the Achilles heel of it.
Right.
It's like when they get locked down, you can get in on them. So did a lot of that. But we had a lot of systems coming in and out too. The wind was doing this all over the place, flippity-doo-dah. And saw a ton of deer. I also randomly, like I was backpacked in. I've been hunting this certain spot for 4 or 5 years. I've never seen somebody.
Mm.
All of a sudden, during the week, I see three different groups of people.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was to the point where I was like, I'm glassing, and I see two good bucks way out, but then there's a group of people in between us. I'm like, man, I don't know if like those people are watching those deer, you know? So I'm like, I'm getting out of here. So I switched gears last half of the month and I ended up moving north. Like, as you know, like the rut moves down, right?
Right.
So I moved north and finally found this pocket of bucks, like good bucks too. That was the only thing. Like, I saw some decent bucks just like you. I saw some like okay bucks, but nothing where I was like, whoa,
yeah,
that's a big buck.
I think I saw more spikes and forkies than I've ever seen in my life.
Did you?
Yeah. And they were all chasing too.
Like, yeah.
Okay, dude, go for it.
Yeah. But those bucks finally, those bucks were locked down with does. Those ones. So I was like, okay, now now we got something to work with. You know what I mean? And first time in there, I was going after one, like, you know, like typical 3-point, you know what I mean? Probably like a 75-inch deer or something like that, solid mm-hmm. buck. And he was pushing around. I closed the gap on him. And I'm about like, I wanted to try to relocate at like 200, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I get there and I'm glassing. I'm like, okay, there's the does. Oh, there's a buck. Whoa, that's not the same buck.
Right.
And there was just a giant up on the mountain there. I could hear him across the basin ripping stuff up with his antlers. He ended up bedding with a doe. I move in. I'm laying down in the sun for like an hour and a half, 2 hours waiting for them to bed. I ended up like, that country is way different than southern Arizona. Like you get a little bit north and it's like bear country. So yeah, a lot of it's bluffed. So a lot of it's sketchy. You can't just like, oh yeah, I'm just going to walk over there. You can't do that. So I'm like scaling this cliff like thing to get around to try to get in range of this deer. I get into this saddle. On my way, my rangefinder battery dies.
Oh, dude, I had that like 6 years ago. I found out after the fact that I was 67 yards from him, but I didn't want to guess.
Yeah.
And I had my target giant. It was a giant mule. He was probably like 190.
Yeah.
Probably would have been my best archery buck. Yeah. I think he would have anyway. I don't know. 100% in cars because I didn't kill him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that happened to me. That's brutal. But well, I always keep batteries in my marsupial.
Now I do. Okay. Yeah. Like I always have a battery with me. I had one in my backpack, but it was up the hill.
Yeah. Yeah.
So after that, I was like, screw that. I put that battery in my bino harness right away after that.
I got three of them in there, dude.
Yeah.
Because I've had it happen to me more than a couple times.
Yep.
But the problem was by the time I got that changed out, my opportunity, the window kind of passed me and I can never get – I was on them for the rest of the afternoon, but yeah. I never could get to where I had a shot on them. So, and I was just like, dude, it was right there. He literally stepped out perfectly broadside. And
yeah.
I think in my head – I thought he was at like 63, so I probably would have got him.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I didn't take the shot because I did one of those this year and I fucking missed. I shot him in the antler this year.
Actually. Oh, did you really?
Oh, God. It was fucking brutal. Fucking brutal.
Yeah. So I get to, you know, I'm 70 from him, what I would guess. I'm like, I'm sitting there in this saddle. I'm like, okay, that's 20. That's 40. I'm like pacing off 20 yards.
Right, right, right.
You know, and he's bedded. I'm like, well, my rangefinder's dead. I got to get close. You know, I come around this tree in the wind, right? And I hit this saddle. The sun's on the backside of the hill. Whoop. Oh, yeah. Popped up. They ran out. So, but backed out, came back in like a week later. And it was super hot. I was like, this is the last 3 days of January. I'm like, man, I hope it's not over. You know mm-hmm, what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's super hot. I saw like three does in the morning. I'm like, God dang it. You know, but that evening, then I started seeing some bucks and stuff. Got on a little 3-point at the end of the day. His doe pinned me down like at 150 pretty early on. Go to sleep, come back, go get in there in the dark the next morning. And that's when I was like, okay, now we're in the chips. Like, this buck popped up, this buck popped out, this buck popped out, stuff pushing all over the place. I'm like, yes, it's not dead, yeah. You know? So, and almost the same thing happened, man. I was going after a decent 3-point, making my way down this ridge. And I, same thing, I'm glassing. Okay, there's the does. Whoa, there's a buck. That's not the same buck. Like literally the same thing on the same ridge.
Okay.
And it was this
same
was,
deer from the deer from the day before?
No. Oh, okay. No. Super interesting. So the one from the first time was a big typical 3-point, like conservatively like 110-inch coos buck.
Holy shit.
Okay. Okay, big.
That's
like
a 3-point. That's
yeah, dude, like big mass, long tines. But this deer was a big 2-point. I'm like, man, I would love to shoot that deer. Like hell, I had a lot of mass on him. He was just up there being a stud, like pushing off all the other bucks and stuff. They all go up to a main ridge and there's a couple saddles up there. And as if you flipped a switch, all of them just, they turned their heads and they bailed off the backside. I'm like, oh, I think I know what's going on. So I get up to that ridge and sure enough, there's one doe that's down on the bottom.
Yeah.
And they're all down there just trying to get after her. And that one buck is pushing them all over the place. I make my way down towards the buck. Doe pins me at like 250. Okay. The gig was up pretty quick. I back up. They bed down. So then I make my way around and I come in behind them over the backside.
Okay.
And I get to probably 40, but it's super thick scrub oak like where I was. Couldn't see him. So he starts blowing. I see him again down at 112 and I'm getting ready to dial. You know what I mean? Yeah, Arizona. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's Arizona straight up, man. So, but he ends up bailing. He goes across the drainage over to where I came from, hides in a juniper. I'm like, well, I got to go that way anyways.
Okay.
So I make my way down there. I'm at 120 and I can see him standing in the juniper. I'm like, okay, cool. So I go off the backside of this ridge. I get to 100. I'm looking, not there anymore.
Oh, shit.
I'm like, where the hell did he go? I look back. He's back on the same ridge I just came from where he was bedded trying to find that doe.
Yeah.
Goes over, tops over the ridge. I'm like, okay, this is over. You know what I mean? I go up to the top of the ridge. I call my wife, just wallowing in my tears. You know what I mean? This big buck just left me, you know? As I'm talking to her on the phone, probably 30 minutes later, I look down. I was like, oh, man, there's a deer down there in the bottom. Sure enough, it's him with that doe again.
Right.
He was so hell-bent on staying with this doe, like nothing was going to take him away from that. So I'm like, sweetie, I gotta go. I think I got to run after this thing, you know? Mm. And it was a super good setup. He's down there, like little flat, finger ridge running right down to him. I'm like, I can take the backside of this ridge down, get above him. So that's what I did the whole time. I'm usually a pretty optimistic guy, John, but it was super noisy. It's steep, loose rocks. I'm like, this isn't going to work. Like all the vegetation is dry. We've had such a dry year.
Yeah.
But I just went slow, just like I would stand there for 2 minutes at a time, just not moving, just keep creeping my way down. So I get down to a point where I'm like, okay, I watched him walk past this dead tree. That dead tree was at 70 yards. I'm like, okay, I'm in the zone, right? Mm-hmm. And I see something off to my left. I look over and I see an ear flick at 35 yards.
Oh, shit.
And it's the doe.
Okay.
So I have a small rise in between us. Uh-huh. So I get down real slow. I'm hiding behind this rise and I can hear her pulling her feed off of the tree.
Okay.
As I'm peeking up, you know, she's still there. Wind's perfect. Nothing. Okay. I stand up and I hear,
he's just
on the other side of the juniper. Yeah, dude. But I couldn't see him. Right. I'm like, okay, he's right there. And then, so I see a deer's body move out in front of me down the noise and the doe were behind a juniper. I see a deer body move out from that juniper. I don't know what deer it is. Comes into a small gap. I pull up my rangefinder and I just I didn't know what it was. I just ranged it. It was 40.7 yards. And then I panned over with my rangefinder and I saw the head. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that's him.
That
was the buck. I just standing there like a stud. And he's fixated down the way. There's another doe.
Oh, okay.
So there's a small gap and I'm like, hey, this is it. Pull back. Heard that sound. You know what I mean? He runs out 30 yards. He's standing out there. He's got a giant hole in him. I shot him with an expandable.
Okay.
He's got a giant hole in him. And I'm filming him with, I have a camera on my bow. I'm filming him with that.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, oh man, he's at seven. I ranged him. He's at 70. I'm like, man, I'm going to try to get another one in if he's still standing. So I knock an arrow. Right when I do that, dude, his nose goes down to the ground and he scoots over to where that other doe was. He's got a giant hole in him. He's still getting after it.
Crazy.
You know what I mean?
They're freaking crazy, man.
It's unbelievable, man. He goes he goes behind a line of scrub oak. Doe pops out, but he never pops out again. Now, the shot was definitely quartering away, so I knew it was back. I wait 30 minutes. That doe stares at me damn near that whole time, and I never see the buck again. I'm like, you know what? This is a big buck. I don't want to
screw it up.
I don't want to push, so I'm like, I'm going to go get my arrow and see what that says.
Yeah, yeah.
Arrow was green.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, dang it. I knew it was back, you know. But he was like giant hole in him, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? He's going to die. I'm going to back out. So I back out, hike all the way out. Buddy comes in the next morning to help me because we're thinking we're going to have this big tracking job, you know what I mean? So we get down there, start finding blood right away, little pin drops and stuff. So I go to where I last saw him. I don't see anything.
Right.
And there's no blood.
No, so he didn't lay down there or whatever.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. I'm like, oh, he's going to bed, and he's going to be laying right there when I get there. There was nothing. So I back up, and I go, basically what happened, he scooted across this draw to get up to where that doe was. but that draw kept going down. So I went back to that cut that he crossed, and I immediately, I was like, oh, there's a bunch of blood right there. So what he ended up doing is a coos deer, you know what I mean? You can't see these freaking things,
right?
You know, what he ended up doing was he went up, but then he went back down and he took that cut, and it was just like he poured blood down that cut. He was 30 yards away, like laying there stone cold. What ended up happening is super interesting, man. I'm curious if this has ever happened to you. So I hit lung, but the arrow didn't say that.
Right.
Like,
because it exited the green. It exited the guts.
It entered guts.
Oh, it entered guts? Oh, okay. You said quarter away, yeah. Okay.
Exited, but it was probably 2-3 inches behind the shoulder. Flipped him over. There's bubbles coming out right there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know why that happened, but that's what happened. So I'm guessing I got like gut, liver, one lung or something like that.
Yep.
And he was right there, and it was just like, what a relief, man. You know, because I've been there, dude. Like you hit something bad, and it's right. Like, okay, here we go. This could be a 12-hour thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So to be able to walk
and
up on them.
And who knows how's it going to end up.
Right, know? Exactly. That's yeah. Yeah, you never know. They're tough. I mean, coos deer are small, but they're still tough. Everything, you know, they're like their one job is they want to live, right? That's their thing. So it was super cool, man, like getting to put my hands on them. And after that was my – so when I walked up on that buck, that was my 14th day in the field. I didn't pull my bow back until the 13th day.
Yeah.
It was starting to get to the point where I'm like, do I know how to do this still? Like, you know what I mean?
I questioned myself this whole year.
Yeah.
So I mentioned I shot that buck in the antler.
Yeah.
That was in South Dakota. Matter of fact, he's going to pop up on this video here in a minute.
Oh, cool.
When you see a big 4x4 with stickers on the side of him, that's the one I shot in the antler. Anyway, yeah, dude, I second guessed myself, and it made me shoot two deer that I would not have shot. I was just having this conversation with Mark Smith and Jeremy Duggar yesterday. Man, I did not that was a first for me, because I had done that once or twice in my I hate to say career, but my my hunting career. But this time was the first time. So Charles, one of my best friends and longtime hunting buddy and my partner in Halfa Wildlife, he shot a buck that I had originally stalked. And when we went to go recover that deer, it was visible that, not that I was mad that he shot it, but I wasn't happy for him. And it was the first time I ever had felt that. And he could see it on my face. He walked up to me, smacked me on the behind, and he's like, don't worry, you'll get one.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like, man, I was dealing with like emotions that I never thought ever, like, it was weird. It was just like a weird freaking feeling, dude. Like this whole year I was like, I'm washed up. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing anymore.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, I just erased 40 plus years of experience in one season.
Yeah.
It was, So it actually took me talking to my buddy Dan, who was actually with us on that hunt. He comes and guides for me over there. And it actually took a good conversation where that guy is the most positive person you ever meet in your life. He's like, oh, I just cut my finger off. Man, there's got to be a positive reason that happened.
Yeah,
like, that's how fucking positive
he
is.
Yeah.
Me, I'm like, the fucking milk spilled. What the fuck?
Yeah.
How the frick did the milk spill? You know,
I'm like, absolutely.
The complete opposite.
Yeah.
So, but had a nice conversation with him, and he brought me back. We had him on my podcast, and we talked about it. But as far as Arizona is concerned, man, I was everywhere.
Yeah.
I started down south like you.
Yep.
I was only there for like 5 days. I ended up shooting a freaking pig that I didn't recover.
And
like, yeah, it was. You know, it was one of those John Stallone's the greatest fucking archer in the whole world moments where I thought I can...
89 and a pig?
No. It was only 30 yards, but he was facing me.
Okay.
And I thought I was slipping in the right spot, and I ended up probably hitting him a little too far back and hit him in the guts.
Sure.
And I couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was by myself, and it was dark, and I was looking, and I couldn't find shit. I went back there the next day after the morning hunt to go look, and I couldn't find him.
Yeah.
But I did not see... I shit you not, I did not see a buck over 60 inches. And that was like,
really?
I was almost going to go after that because I was like,
Well,
you know, I just wanted to film a fucking tag.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And I just kept talking myself out. And then I went to Muley Country.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest buck I saw was like 145 inches. And again, I was like trying to talk myself out of going after it, and I finally did. It wasn't until, like, I think my 20th day in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing a lot of half days.
Yeah.
You know, short trips. I didn't do any, like, backpacking or anything like that. But it wasn't until my 20th day I got on a good buck.
Mm-hmm.
And the first buck I went to go, he was dead.
Yeah.
I drew back on him and everything. And then I didn't shoot him because... And I didn't realize it was kind of a rookie mood. I was sitting for almost three hours and change on this flat rock. And there was a big oak brush, you know, one of those oak bushes in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally came out and he stepped out like 57 yards, I think it was. I can remember right. So I drew back and I settled my pin and I'm like, fuck, my arrow is going to go through this bush.
Oh, man.
Because it was so steep.
Yeah.
And I tried to kind of come up on my knees because I was sitting like crisscross or Indian style or whatever the freak mm-hmm. you want to call it. And I tried to come up on my knees. And as I was doing that, the rock was so steep and it was so slippery, I started to like,
oh,
I was like, yeah, that ain't happening. But yeah. I was at full draw this whole time.
Yeah.
I have to ask, my buddy Clint was with me, one of the guys that guides with me, and he's a great guy. I was probably at full draw for almost 3 minutes. I don't think I've ever held that long in my life.
That's unbelievable.
Because the doe was standing in a perfectly open spot, and there was two saguaros,
mm-hmm.
there was him or her, and then he was to the right mm-hmm. behind her. And so when I noticed I couldn't shoot him, I moved to where the doe was because I figured he was going to come out
right there.
Right. Well, when I made that movement, she was looking right at me.
Yeah, yeah.
So she had me pegged, so she never kept on feeding forward,
mm-hmm.
and she was staring at me. And finally, I had to let down, and when I let down, she took two steps behind the saguaro. He came and met her, and they were both standing behind the saguaro, and it was probably like 5-6 minutes, and finally she blew once.
Mm-hmm.
And when she only did it once and didn't do it multiple times, I should have blew back.
Yeah.
This is a good lesson.
Mm-hmm.
When I do it, I have to use both my hands. So I had my one hand on my bow, and I told you I was about to slide off this freaking thing anyway. So that's kind of why I didn't do it, but I should have tried to make some kind of a blow noise back. Because when they do it once, they're saying, hey, you.
Right.
Who are you? And if I would have said, hey, who are you?
Yeah, yeah.
They would have been like, oh, okay, it's another deer. Because they didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she could, because like, you know, all she could probably see from that angle was like this.
Yeah.
Because of that bush.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was like, fuck, I didn't do that. I started thinking to myself, and I'm like, let me just sit here and let me wait this out, because if they start coming back out this way, I'll just draw back real quick and
mm-hmm.
make a shot. Well, probably another 5 minutes go. I mean, it was a long time in between her. She blows again.
Mm-hmm.
And then 30 seconds later, she blows again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started going down, but they went straight down from behind the saguaro. And then when they finally came out and they stopped out, they were like 90-something.
Yeah.
And I don't anymore. I've limited myself to what I have in pins. And I don't have a slider. So
I'm trying to get better at that, John.
Dude, I mean, if you would have asked me this 10, 15 years ago,
oh, yeah.
I would have been like,
oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, absolutely.
Shit, I shot antelope at 97.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't want to shoot over 70. I have an 80-yard pin, and I will use it, but I don't want to shoot over 70 yards anymore.
That's my thing, too. Like, I've had some, you know, it happens. You know what I mean? I've had some unfortunate things happen at long range.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially when I was just, like, first getting into bow hunting, gosh dang it, dude. You know, bow hunting's hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you spend a lot of time at the range. You build up your confidence, and, like, like, oh, yeah, I'm grouping a softball at a C note.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah, I'm good. You know, so buck standing out there at 95 yards, like the first buck I ever shot, you know, 10 plus years ago or whatever with my bow, like that buck was at 95 bedded.
Yeah.
And I double lunged him. So, like, you kind of go through this, but then, like, eventually it takes, like, one time, you know, and, like, something bad happens. And it's like, you know what, dude? I think I'm going to
dial it back a little bit.
I'm going to dial back. So, my new rule. Unless it's a follow-up shot.
Oh, yeah. Follow-up. That's different. Once you got a hole in them. Once you got a starter hole.
Yeah. Starter hole. Yeah. Yeah. My new rule is I don't want to shoot past my pins.
Yeah.
So I go 30 to 70.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I don't want to shoot past my pins. If it's a follow-up shot, I'll shoot them at 120.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, that's fine. But yeah, that's just, you know, you have like one unfortunate thing and it stings a little bit and kind of just changes your
mentality. Think for me, you know, that was definitely part of it. But I think for me, I'm not as well practiced as I was. So yeah. I don't feel like I deserve to be able to shoot that far. Sure. I think if I was still shooting like I did, I think the last time I remember me feeling super confident, mm-hmm. like I was even cocky about it, mm-hmm, was mm-hmm. probably 2016, 2017, maybe mm-hmm. the latest. Mm-hmm. But that's when I would go every other day,
yeah.
and I would train in multiple positions. I wasn't just shooting at a yep. bag. I was running and shooting. I was
yep.
doing things that would mimic hunting.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't had the time with yeah. Powerful Wildlife,
yep.
with my, you know, wife and kids, my pool business, yep. the podcast, the hunting business, you know,
yeah.
dude, it's fucking like, I'm burning it from both ends all the time. I literally, everybody's like, I just sleep 5 hours. That's, you know,
I tell you what, dude, when I had my daughter, it was such an awakening of like how much time you had before you had kids.
Yeah. Your life's
like,
not
you,
your
like
life.
You don't
anymore.
Realize that. Like before I had a kid, I'm like, oh, I don't have any time. After I had kids, I'm like, goodness gracious, I had so much time.
Right.
I started like finding time. Like I would get up at
it
3.
It gets worse, dude, as I get older.
Thanks for telling me. I'm like, oh man, I got to get up at 3 a.m. so I can get some work done, get a workout in, whatever.
Same.
Because
not
once she
three, but four. Yeah.
once she wakes up 7 o'clock, can't do anything.
Yep.
Now things are getting easier. Like she, you know, she's a little more self-sufficient, you know, but that is, it's motivating, you mm-hmm. know, because it's like, oh, I did. It lets you know. It's like sometimes taking on something new.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I don't want to do that because I don't have time. Well, you probably do.
Yes.
You probably do. It's just how bad do you want to do that thing?
Yep. That's right? The same conversation I have about Alpha Wildlife all the time. People are like, oh, you know, I'm just so busy. I can't get involved in stuff like that. I'm like, dude, I don't fucking know anybody who's busier than I am.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Take fucking a minute and 30 seconds and try to protect what you love doing.
Go send this email.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell people all the time, you said that, I've said this to you before, but you said something to me years and years. I think it was the first time I was ever on your podcast. You said, I'm trying to fit 10 gallons in a 5 gallon bucket.
Yeah. 10 gallons of shit in a 5 gallon hat.
That's
my favorite line.
So I tell people that all the time, you know, like time is, it's like, I don't know if you're the same, but like, I don't really hang out with friends anymore, honestly, you know, and it's kind of depressing, but it's like at the end of the day, like, especially when hunting season comes, mm-hmm. like you're in this line of work, like hunting season comes, you're gone for, you might be gone 2 weeks in a month. Right.
Yeah.
So when I come back, I want to hang out with my family.
Yeah.
And plus I got to get 4 weeks of work done in 2 weeks.
Sure. Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Well, you know, so like the work, hunt balance is fucking real.
Yeah.
I haven't been on, one or two, but not a lot. Like in the last 10 years, that's why I don't do like, well, there's more than one reason why I don't do backcountry hunting anymore. That's how it started though.
Yeah.
If I went, I didn't want to go to a place where I didn't have cell phone service,
mm-hmm.
because I could be on a hunt and still manage my business as long as I have the ability to get the emails and answer phone calls and send text messages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done a few, and you know, you're in reach. It's tough.
Yeah.
I could send some, I could do some directing,
mm-hmm.
but I can't tell you how many times I've been on a freaking stalk and my phone's going off in my pocket, I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
I look, and I'm like, it's one of my guys. I'm like, what do you want? Okay, I'm stalking a freaking elk. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like one of those things. But the fact of the matter is, if you want to be able to spend 7 days, mm-hmm. 14 days to do these things, you got to be able to, one, support it.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make money come in to do it.
Right.
But you got to have that balance, you know? And, that's where my success has been, because I've been able to throw all these things up in the air and still juggle them.
Yeah, dude, time management is key. Like, I'm sure you've had a lot of people ask you, everybody wants to work in the hunting industry, I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, because they want to, like, quote unquote, hunt for a living.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I used to get that all the time.
You know what I mean? And it's like, how do you do that? And it's like, well, you know, I don't even know how. I'm still learning how to do it. You know,
right, right. I tell people all the time, I say, you want to do this like I do it. I found a job. I mean, I own my own business, but it's still a job. I found a job that affords me not only the financial resources, but the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when I had a TV show, dude, mm-hmm. I'd make $50,000 and spend 90. Mm-hmm. Like, there wasn't a business. Like, you were not making money. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of guys that do.
Sure.
But, you know, I don't have that kind of clout. Like, mm-hmm. I can't command, you know, a $400,000, sponsorship or whatever. So, you know, when I had the TV show, I actually made a post on my blog, I don't know, freaking 2007, something mm-hmm. like that, when, because mm-hmm. people were like, it's called How to Get in the Hunting Industry.
Yeah.
And I kind of go through all these things mm-hmm. and all these things. And then at the end, I say the same thing I just said right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You really want to do this shit?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I had a guy talk to me one time. He's like, oh, you want to manufacture things? Okay, this is what you do. Take all the money you have in your pocket
mm-hmm.
and you put it over here. And then I want you to go get a match and throw it on that money. Like, that's, I mean, and it like resonated with me. I'm like, you got to figure out how to do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Without jeopardizing your life, yep. you know, and still being able to afford those things.
Well, dude, and it comes at a cost even like beyond money. It's like, I remember when I was first getting into everything, trying to find every lick of resource and time to be able to hunt as much as I could. That meant, hey, maybe I don't buy new clothes all the time. Maybe I don't go out to eat all the time. You know what I mean? Because yep. like my priority was one, my family,
right.
but two, like my, like I wanted to hunt a lot. Okay. So like to sack, like, yeah, that means I'm not going, I don't drink anyways, but
yeah.
guys that go out and drink, it's like you spend $20 on a drink or whatever, yeah, you know yeah, what I yeah, mean? Yeah. It's like, I'm not doing that. That's all, like half a tag in Arizona, yeah. you know? So, or gas money. Well, at the time it was,
oh, yeah.
it was, you know, get you half a tank or whatever at the
$20
time.
Used to fill my tank when I started drinking. Oh, that's when I started driving. Oh my God.
Yeah, dude, it's bad now. Yeah. So yeah, it just comes down to if you want to do something, anything,
mm-hmm.
like you want to do something, you will find a way to do that.
Yes.
And it just matters. What are you willing to sacrifice?
100%
to do it. And I think hunting success is also falls right into that.
100%.
People are like, how do you be consistently successful? How do you do this?
There is no silver bullet.
No, it's just hard work.
Hard work.
That's yep. it. That's it. Like, what are you willing? Are you willing to get up at 3 a.m. and hike 2 hours in the dark to get to where you need to be?
Mm-hmm.
Most people aren't.
No,
they're not. You know what I mean? But it's like,
and I'm grateful for that.
You know, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because, you know, I like people that want to get in the woods just to get in the woods and just be out there, and they're happy that, you know,
absolutely.
They shoot one deer in 10 years. Like, I don't, that doesn't bother me. And it's not even from the competition side, although that's a little part of it too. But I like the fact that they're part of the hunting community
yep.
and they have a voice and help us keep this. And then there's, mm-hmm. you know, then there's guys like you and me that want to fucking be out there every damn day.
Yeah. 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 So, yeah. 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 So, to me, like, hunting is a process,
mm-hmm.
right? And some folks, you know, they take it at different levels, and that's totally fine. I'm just like you. Like, I love seeing people out there that they don't care if they're successful or not,
mm-hmm.
but they're just like out there enjoying hunting,
right?
Because that's what hunting was to me when I first started.
Exactly.
It was hanging out there with my dad, you know, camping, cooking burgers on the fire,
right?
Doing the whole thing and going through that, which is just like sadly, it's like it's a dying breed, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like more and more dads and moms, they're not bringing their kids up into right. the outdoors, which is just super depressing,
yep.
you know? So,
yep.
so yeah. So what I was getting at is hunting to me is an art as well.
Yep.
And it's like, you're the one with the paintbrush. And the world is your canvas, basically. And so you can hunt however you want.
Right.
You know, if you don't want to be that dude that, like, lives for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, run 10 miles every day.
Yeah.
Lift in, shooting your bow every day. Like, you don't have to do that.
Right.
You can go just hang out with your friends and there's no pressure, you know. But, like, personally, there's a select few of us. I know you're one of these guys. The struggle and the adversity and, like, the grind is kind of addicting.
Yeah.
You know, and then the end, like to cap that off with that feeling of like, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the chase, right?
Right.
That's the chase. Like that this past January was like perfect example for me of that. Like 13 days in the field, I went through like the fall gone a lot, and 13 days in the field, I'm like, God, I kind of want to just go cuddle with my kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But I look back on that, but in the field, I'm like, if I were to go home, I would like totally regret it.
Yeah.
You know,
of course.
Love being at home, but also like,
because you left it out there.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You don't know what could have been. Yeah. Right. And I feel like on the success part of things, you get a lot of people asking it, like, because you do a lot of spot and stock hunting, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like people ask you, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Well, it's like at the end of the day, like somebody told me, like real black and white, it's like, well, you know, I just go after him.
Yeah.
I talked to a buddy, a taxidermist buddy of mine. He had like 20 plus mule deer under his belt with his bow. Wow. I'm like, dude, how are you doing that?
Yeah.
When I was first starting out, he's like, I just go right at him.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. You're not like, do you wait for him to bed?
I don't.
No, me neither. Like, no, I just go after him. It's like, well, at the end of the day, it's like you have a deer tag and there's a deer standing over there. Mm-hmm. So I feel like what happens a lot of times is people will stay back and try to overcomplicate the situation. Yes.
Yeah.
And they ended up talking themselves out of going on a stalk.
Yeah. It's all situational though.
Yeah.
Like early season.
Absolutely.
I'll probably wait for them to bed.
Yep.
Or do I have a spotter or do I not have a spotter?
Yeah.
If I'm by myself, then yeah, I probably should wait till they bed.
Sure.
But in the rut, a bedded deer really don't mean shit.
No, dude.
They could bed for literally 4 minutes and get up and freaking run. And
no, then
you're
absolutely.
Like, you get over there and you're like, all right.
Yeah.
I'd rather them be on their feet and I can like
see
them the whole time almost, you know,
yep.
just coming in and out of cover, you know, constantly checking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I've had success, but you know, I'm not a big buck killer either. So
yeah.
You know, I'm not, you know, one of these guys that say I'm going to come home with this or nothing either. But it's like I've had success. My whole life, you know,
yeah.
And I think I've been pretty good at it. And
yeah,
I just you know, I do what makes me happy. But I think I don't go in. I shouldn't say. I kind of preface that. I said that wrong, but. I do what makes me happy, but I look at every situation like I don't go in there with a plan anymore. Mm-hmm. I used to have like, all right, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, and that's how it's going. But it's never that way.
You know,
you got to have like, you got to be able to like move and adapt to the situation on your feet.
Basically. Yeah. Which is, I think is an acquired skill.
Yeah.
Like some people, like especially newbies, you know what I mean? Like. You, whether you read a book or you're watching videos or whatever, you think like you have to do things this way.
Mm-hmm.
Elk hunting is a prime example of that. People like, oh yeah, I'm going to bugle 100 times a day. I'm just going to walk, bugle.
Yep.
But okay, well, but what if they're not?
Yeah.
What if sometimes they're not talking?
Right.
Right. So what do you do?
Yeah.
Right. Like, how do you adapt to that? So like being a dude that has like not being a one trick pony, I think that like makes you more successful.
I think that you could translate that to being book smart versus being street smarts.
Yeah.
So a lot of what you're talking about comes with time spent the field.
Right. Right.
And you know, so there's guys that have the principles down. You know, they've been listening to Paul Modell. They've been and those are fantastic resources. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think Paul's definitely one of my mentors when it comes to elk calling.
Yeah, yeah.
I call him all the time. I've called him in from the field and they're like,
how do I do
you're
this?
You're doing this, dude. I'm fucking, they're not answering to the shit. What do you do?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, dude, if you're written, you know, it's like, what's that saying? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like that, that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You got to kind of like, and even if you don't have a lot of experience, just call on the experience, whatever experience you do have. And I mean, even if it's your first time, at least the day before was an experience to today.
Right.
Start piecing it together. Start recognizing, okay, they're doing this. And, you know, these conversations we have on podcasts and people are getting book smart.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to those experiences and, like, kind of really listen to the words that people are saying and pick it apart.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just listen to the mechanics of it.
Right.
But listen to the nuances that, like, okay, you know, I heard Paul talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should let me try this because I don't have that experience, but let me try this and then see what the reaction is and then kind of make your adjustment along the way.
It's all about perspective. Like, and I think that's valuable because like it opens people's minds a little bit. Like, for instance, one time I heard about a dude, I think I was reading a Arizona hunting forum or something like that. And this guy was, somebody was asking how to spot and stalk mule deer. Mm-hmm. And this one guy comes in, he's like, oh yeah, I did this one time. He's like, I walked at a group of deer with my bow on my head.
Okay.
And he was like, I was able to walk slowly right into that herd of deer because he thinks they thought he was a deer.
Yeah.
I don't know how true that is, you know? Maybe. Also, you and I have talked about this. What is that? You predator call in does.
Yeah.
Bucks follow him.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of different ways to skin a cat. There's not necessarily like a wrong and a right way because at the end of the day, if the deer's laying there on the ground, that's... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You did it.
Right. You know, and I stopped actually talking about that because people do it. I couldn't verbalize and stress where I use that.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of these things that we're talking about. It's an experience thing. You recognize a situation. You're like, okay, this situation is going to probably work here if I do this. Mm-hmm. And I shit you not, I started talking about that and I would go out there and I fucking just hear people willy-nilly fucking calling all the time. And I'm like... Well, no wonder why this shit don't freaking work in this area anymore because everybody's fucking doing it.
Yeah,
like, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, no one thing is going to work every single time. And you got to have a very, I guess, keen observation skills and be able to recall on, like, you know, back in the day when I used to do a lot of whitetail hunting, I did this. I used to journal a lot.
Okay.
And I would write the barometer, the moon, the weather, the wind, the whatever. And then I started seeing correlations. I don't do that anymore. One, I don't have time for you to do that anymore, but I don't do that anymore. But my brain works that way. I look at I've seen a variation of this situation before.
Yeah.
Let me go back into the mental Rolodex. What's going to work here? So just my suggestion to people is to pay attention to those things so that if this blows up on you, but you had an opportunity, that's the key. Did you create an opportunity doing that thing? You might not have gotten that deer.
Yeah.
But if you created the opportunity, that's a tactic that works.
Yeah.
Just because you didn't execute or whatever, I mean, it happens to all of us.
Right.
You know, yeah. I just told you I freaking shot a deer in the antler.
Yeah.
But like it works. You just, you're like, okay, if I do these things, I'm going to create an opportunity. And at the end of the day, it's the opportunities that you create. The more opportunities you create, eventually one of them is going to go your way.
Yeah, 100%, dude.
Singles.
100%.
Yeah, like there's no other way to put it. So
yeah, there's a why behind all of it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, I think, when like people are newer, like take bear hunting, for instance, like there's a lot of variables in Arizona.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like feed is super variable. You can see a bear, 20 bears in one canyon one year, and there might not be a single bear that in that canyon the following year. But why is that? Right? So when I tell folks, it's like, okay, when you see a bear on a hill, like, what is he doing? What is he eating? What time of day is it? Like, pay attention to that stuff because you can transpose that
somewhere else
to different areas.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, because a lot of people, they'll get honed in on just like their spot. And it's like, oh, I don't know where else to go.
Yep.
Well, dude, like you have the tools here to create another spot.
More so than anything.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like literal actual tools to do it.
yeah, absolutely. And it's like the more repetitions you have of paying attention to those details that create that opportunity for you, the more you'll be able to repeat that in other spots.
Exactly.
You know, which then creates more consistent success, which creates a more versatile hunter.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah.
Yeah, that was a question that you got thrown at me all the time too when I, you know, so I don't get to spend, unless I'm hunting in January is about the only time that I'll have multiple days.
Not a lot of people swimming.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, so I do commercial work. That's a busy time for me.
Oh, really?
Because I got all the snowbirds and.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Know? Okay.
But it's manageable. I don't need to be, I don't need to micromanage things. So. Primarily, I live my seasons 5 to 7 days at a time, and I am traveling to do it. Most of the time, I've never been to that spot.
Yeah.
So how do I find success there?
Right.
It's exactly what you were just saying right now. I look for juxtaposition, basically. I look for feed, the relationship to water, to cover, to travel corridors, and I take these pieces that I know that when I do that here, I see deer.
Mm-hmm.
Like my honey hole has these things.
Mm-hmm.
If I take what my honey hole has and I transpose it, like you said,
mm-hmm.
somewhere else, more than likely I'm going to find animals in that area as well.
Yep.
And that has been my success. So I don't have to go to an area and waste four of my 7 days scouting, trying to find things.
That's dude. And that's super key for like time management as well. Like the e-scouting thing,
yeah.
like knowing how to, you're basically yep. predicting where animals are going to be before you even step foot there.
Right.
And it's all because of
the herd of elk here.
I know, dude, they're in the background coming in. It's all because of what you've gone through in the past.
Yeah.
I've gotten super lucky. I've also come up zip a lot of times, yeah. but like sometimes like one hunt in particular, a couple years back, I got an Idaho mule deer tag early October. Okay. Never hunted mule deer during that time.
Mm-hmm.
So in that country, you're kind of dealing with this, like you're kind of in between the lines there of like, well, they could be up high,
right.
but they also could be like kind of transitioning down into winter ground at that time,
right, depending on weather,
depending on the weather. So like, after kind of like doing all that research on just mule deer biology,
mm-hmm.
which is something that people, a lot of people don't right. really dive into, the don't, animal biology.
Learning your animals, the big key.
And really diving into topographic maps and stuff like that and being like, okay, well, this peak is 10,000 feet.
Yep.
So I know if I were to go there in August, there's going to be mule deer probably around that area, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this peak has these big, long ridges that come down to like 6,000 and 7,000 feet. Okay. This looks like a natural way for them to drop down into winter mm-hmm. range, right? So it's like, okay, I think this is a safe bet. Like there's going to be deer somewhere in this area
right
here. So I ended up going, like they didn't have snow yet. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go a little higher, right? Big gnarly pack in, did like four, like I think we did like 4 miles on trail and then 3 miles off trail straight up.
Mm-hmm.
Got in there and the very first morning we're walking, just sun's just coming up, boom, right there.
Yeah.
Shot a great buck the first morning I was there.
Nice.
And it's not like, and I really chalked that up to me talking to other guys that are way more experienced than me, like hunting that time of year, but just like taking that information and doing something with it instead mm-hmm. of being like, hey, do you got a pin?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you send me a pin?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, came out of there and got a great buck because of that. It's all because of like e-scouting. Like e-scouting is so valuable. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And like,
yeah,
actually
we got those souls, use them.
Absolutely. Like knowing how to do that. You can kind of predict. I've done that with bears a lot in Arizona, you know, like knowing how just you take like, oh, here's a south face. Yeah. And then like using your, I love using the timeline feature on Google okay. Earth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I can go to like November.
Yeah. And see.
And all the oaks are orange.
Yeah.
So I can see where they are from a satellite.
You know? Right. Yeah.
That's so, awesome. So using stuff like that and being like, okay, well, this is a big north face. There's oaks here. There's probably going to be bears there. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man. It's just like, there's so many moving pieces in hunting. And, I think it's beautiful, you know, to be yeah. able to like sit there and do that stuff.
That's
so
awesome. Yeah. I've had the opportunity to take a few in my life, but it's not something I ever figured out. Like mm-hmm. I wouldn't guide somebody to go bear hunting mm-hmm. if they call me up
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because it's not something I know, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those things I want to get better at.
Mm-hmm.
If somewhere I can find another gallon of shit to stuff in the hat, but I don't, you know, but so I think Anthony and I might go bear hunting this year. I don't know yet.
I ran into Anthony the other day at the archery range, man. We shot together and stuff, and it was super fun, man. Yeah. He was telling me, like, you know, he's got his kids and stuff, and he's bringing his kids up into hunting. And
yeah,
it's just like,
he does a great job.
Super inspirational, man. That's like, that's doing it right.
Yeah.
Like, so makes me excited for the future. I got my daughter a little recurve bow.
Nice.
For Christmas. So she's out there, like, with, like, she's got her, like, mismatched socks, little mermaid heels
yep.
in a dress.
Yep. Shooting
at full draw with a recurve. You
that's
know,
awesome. My girls did that too. They were super into it now that one of them's in high school and the other one's in middle school and mm-hmm. they can give two shits about hunting.
Yeah.
I mean, my oldest will go with me still, like,
yeah,
but I gotta almost kind of guilt her into it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My son, luckily, he's pretty excited about it still, so hopefully, yeah, I wish I would have done it. Like, Anthony was... He still is. He's really good. He's super patient, which mm-hmm. I'm not, which yeah. sucks. I'm not a patient person. He did, like, Joey, his middle son. The kid's a freaking... He's going to be an awesome hunter.
Yeah.
Like, he's got it. He's yeah. got the... He's got the eye. Glass is really great. He listens, you know, for a kid his age already, you know, I think he's probably going to get his first bull this year.
Oh, cool.
Cause,
that's awesome.
Yeah, they got enough points to get him a tag. So I think if he draws it, he's going to get one.
That's cool. Yeah, that's so cool. What do you got coming up this year? Are you doing anything fun?
Not that I know of, man. I don't have. I'm in limbo land right now. Mm-hmm. I'm like 1 point away from getting the tag I want in Wyoming.
Okay,
I've been sitting on it because last time I killed a bull in Wyoming was.
That was that giant you shot with a rifle, right?
14 years ago. No, I never shot with a rifle.
Where was that?
The giant with the rifle, that was Utah. That was here.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
And I bow hunted the whole time until that last minute.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I was watching you online.
I was so fucking mad. And the crazy thing is I end up shooting him with the rifle at a yardage I could have gotten.
Don't you love that, dude?
Well, see, what happened with that bull was the night before, it was literally the same spot, the mm-hmm. same area. But by the time I got there... The same time and everything. By the time I got there, it was getting too dark.
Yeah.
And I couldn't shoot him.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck. Okay. So, very next night, same, literally the same time, the freaking cows are coming out, and here comes this bull, literally on the same bench. And I'm like, all right, I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm taking the rifle because I'm not letting this shit happen to me again. I only had one more day,
mm-hmm.
and then the hunt was over.
Yeah.
So, hustle over there. I got there like an hour earlier. Because I had been there now.
Yeah.
The first time I hadn't been there, so mm-hmm. it took me that much longer to get there, and I was being cautious and slow and kind of mm-hmm. whatever. Yeah, and I shot him at 60 yards. 60 yards with a rifle.
Yeah.
But whatever. It yeah. was cool.
No, dude, that was a stellar bull, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that was here. That was 2017.
Gosh, man, time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't. Time flies, dude. That's kind of scary.
Yep. Last year, I had a... Idaho tag, didn't have a single opportunity. I found out afterwards there was big winter kill and they lost a shit ton of bull. We didn't see, I mean, we saw a couple, nothing good.
That happened this past fall to me, man. I had a Utah tag mm-hmm. and they had, I mean, where I was, it was like 75% mortality.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was going from, you know, hunted it in the past, I'd see, you know, 30 plus bucks.
Right.
I saw 7.
Yeah.
You know, rough. And it's like, gosh, man, you know, so I'm skipping that hunt this year. I'm yeah. not doing that to let it
I recover. Did too. I didn't put in.
Yeah.
I'm like 2 points away from getting the tag I want in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't have enough points anywhere else to get excited. I could pull a Montana tag if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking if I'm going to do elk hunting, I'm going to go probably to Oregon this year.
Oh, cool.
I still have yet to kill a Roosevelt.
Yeah, you've been going the past few years, right?
I haven't gone now. It's been since 2018 was the last time I was
oh,
there.
God,
so
dude.
2019. Yeah, 2019.
Gosh, man, that time, man.
Yeah, it goes, man. Well, COVID kind of like skewed all our...
Yeah, dude, I feel like it was just like...
That, it like erased 3 years of everybody's life.
Right, yeah. I feel like I was like, so, yeah, I feel like I just saw you like in yeah. Oregon.
Yeah, you know? No, I hadn't been. Actually, the guys that I hunted with were Angry Spike, mm-hmm. guys from Angry Spike.
Yeah, yeah.
They were in Arizona this year. I only hung out with them for a little bit while I was down there. But, yeah, so, you know, we used to trade back and forth.
Yeah.
They would come hunting sure. here with me, and I'd go there with them. But now they're coming here on their own. I haven't gone there since, I think it was 2019 or 2018. So, last time I was there, my trip got cut in half because we popped a hole in the oil pan on the truck.
Ugh.
On the rental truck.
Yeah.
It was like...
Very nice.
And Anthony was with me, actually. It was brutal. So, anyways. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Stud Buck, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Very excited about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another year, another coos.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Take it easy.
All right, man.
Hey, guys. Thanks for checking out the show. Really appreciate you. Keep those reviews and those comments coming. Helps us keep this free. Do me a favor, go check out Phoenix Shooting Bags. Use promo code John Stallone to save 20%, all one word. And check out Howl for Wildlife. Thank you very much, and we'll catch you on the next show.